Hi there, this is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode number 16, where in 52 weeks we'll read the entire Bible. Welcome. Thank you for being here today. If this is your first time, I'm really glad to see you. And if you're a returning listener, thanks for coming back. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. My email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. If you'd like to contact me, I'd love to hear from you. Now, just in case you missed the first episode in this current series of reading through the Bible, I've done it several times now in the LifeSpring Family Bible, and you're wondering why we read the books we read in the order in which we read them, allow me to explain. If you have ever tried to read the Bible through using the typical way, that is from Genesis to Revelation or some variation on that, there are large sections that can get pretty tedious. I'm thinking of some of the sections of history with all the begats and some of the sections of the law, which can get very, 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 very repetitive. So as I was preparing to restart the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible a few weeks ago, I looked for a fresh and different way to approach the reading of the Bible. And I found the website bible-reading.com and the reading plan that we're now using. The owner of that website, a fellow by the name of Michael Coley, graciously gave his permission to use his plan, and I'd again like to thank him right now. So Michael, again, thank you. The plan works this way. On Sundays, we read from the epistles. On Mondays, we read from the law. On Tuesday, history. On Wednesday, Psalms. On Thursday, poetry. Friday, prophecy. Saturday, the Gospels. So now you no longer have to wonder why we read in the order we do. So today, being Monday, we're going to read from the law, Genesis 8 through 11. Genesis 8, by the way, today will be read from the ESV, 9 and 10 from the Holman Christian Standard Bible, and chapter 11 from the Good News Translation. So, with all that preamble, let's get to it. Genesis chapter 8. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of the heavens were closed. The rain from the heavens was restrained, and the waters receded from the earth continually. At the end of 150 days, the waters had abated, and in the 7th month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters continued to abate until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the 1st day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made, and sent forth a raven. It went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Then he sent forth a dove from him, to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set her foot, and she returned to him to the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and brought her into the ark with him. He waited another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening, and behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days and sent forth the dove, and she did not return to him any more. In the 601st year, in the 1st month, the 1st day of the month, the waters were dried from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In the 2nd month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth had dried out. Then God said to Noah, "Go out from the ark, you and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, birds and animals and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every bird, everything that moves on the earth, went out by families from the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and took some of every clean animal, and some of every clean bird, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, "I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Genesis chapter 9. God blessed Noah and his sons, and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth. The fear and terror of you will be in every living creature on the earth, every bird of the sky, every creature that crawls on the ground, and all the fish of the sea. They are placed under your authority. Every living creature will be food for you. As I gave the green plants, I have given you everything. However, you must not eat meat with its lifeblood in it. I will require the life of every animal and every man for your life and for your blood. I will require the life of each man's brother for a man's life. Whoever sheds man's blood, his blood will be shed by man, for God made man in his image. But you, be fruitful and multiply, spread out over the earth and multiply on it." Then God said to Noah and his sons with him, "Understand that I am confirming my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, birds, livestock, and all wildlife of the earth that are with you, all the animals of the earth that came out of the ark. I confirm my covenant with you that never again will every creature be wiped out by the waters of a flood. There will never again be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all future generations. I have placed my bow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I form clouds over the earth, and the bow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all the living creatures. Water will never again become a flood to destroy every creature. The bow will be in the clouds, and I will look at it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all the living creatures on earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have confirmed between me and every creature on earth." Noah's sons who came out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were Noah's sons, and from them the whole earth was populated. Noah, a man of the soil, was the first to plant a vineyard. He drank some of the wine, became drunk, and uncovered himself inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father naked and told his two brothers outside. Then Shem and Japheth took a cloak and placed it over both their shoulders, and walking backward, they covered their father's nakedness. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father naked. When Noah awoke from his drinking and learned what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Canaan will be cursed. He will be the lowest of slaves to his brothers." He also said, "Praise the Lord, the God of Shem. Canaan will be his slave. God will extend Japheth. He will dwell in the tents of Shem. Canaan will be his slave." Now Noah lived 350 years after the flood. So Noah's life lasted 950 years, then he died. Genesis chapter 10. These are the family records of Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They also had sons after the flood. Japheth's sons, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tirus. Gomer's sons, Ashkenaz, Riphath, and Togarmah. And Javan's sons, Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. The coastland peoples spread out into their lands. These are Japheth's sons by their clans, in their nations. Each group had its own language. Ham's sons, Cush, Egypt, Put, and Canaan. Cush's sons, Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Raama, and Sabtika, and Raama's sons, Sheba and Dedan. Cush fathered Nimrod, who was the first powerful man on earth. He was a powerful hunter in the sight of the Lord. That is why it is said, "Like Nimrod, a powerful hunter in the sight of the Lord." His kingdom started with Babylon, Erech, Akkad, and Calneh in the land of Shinar. From that land he went to Assyria and built Nineveh, Rehoboth-ir, Calah, and Resen, between Nineveh and the great city Calah. Mizraim fathered Ludim, Anamim, Lehabim, Naphtahim, Pathrusim, Caslahim, the Philistines came from them, and Caphtorim. Canaan fathered Sidon, his firstborn, then Heth, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Arkites, the Sinites, the Arvadites, the Zemarites, and the Hamathites. Afterward, the Canaanite clans scattered. The Canaanite border went up from Sidon, going towards Gerar as far as Gaza, and going towards Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, and Zeboiim as far as Laisha. These are Ham's sons by their clans, according to their languages, in their own lands and their nations. And Shem, Japheth's older brother, also had sons. Shem was the father of all the sons of Eber. Shem's sons were Elam, Asher, Arpachshad, Lud, and Aram. Aram's sons, Uz, Hul, Gether, and Mash. Arpachshad fathered Shelah, and Shelah fathered Eber. Eber had two sons. One was named Peleg, for during his days the earth was divided. His brother was named Joktan. And Joktan fathered Almodad, Shelef, Hazer-Maveth, Jira, Hadoram, Uzal, Dikla, Obal, Abimael, Sheba, Ophir, Havilah, and Jobab. All these were Joktan's sons. Their settlements extended from Mesha to Sefer, the eastern hill country. These are Shem's sons by their clans, according to their languages, in their lands and their nations. These are the clans of Noah's sons, according to their family records, in their nations. The nations on earth spread out from these after the flood. Genesis chapter 11. At first, the people of the whole world had only one language and used the same words. As they wandered about in the east, they came to a plain in Babylonia and settled there. They said to one another, "Come on, let's make bricks and bake them hard." So they had bricks to build with and tar to hold them together. They said, "Now let's build a city with a tower that reaches the sky, so that we can make a name for ourselves and not be scattered all over the earth." Then the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which they had built, and he said, "Now then, these are all one people, and they speak one language. This is just the beginning of what they're going to do. Soon they will be able to do anything they want. Let us go down and mix up their language so that they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. The city was called Babylon, because there the Lord mixed up the language of all the people, and from there he scattered them all over the earth. These are the descendants of Shem. 2 years after the flood, when Shem was 100 years old, he had a son, Arpachshad. After that, he lived another 500 years and had other children. When Arpachshad was 35 years old, he had a son, Shelah. After that, he lived another 403 years and had other children. When Shelah was 30 years old, he had a son, Eber. After that, he lived another 403 years and had other children. When Eber was 34 years old, he had a son, Peleg. After that, he lived another 430 years and had other children. When Peleg was 30 years old, he had a son, Reu. After that, he lived another 209 years and had other children. When Reu was 32 years old, he had a son, Serug. After that, he lived another 207 years and had other children. When Serug was 30 years old, he had a son, Nahor. After that, he lived another 200 years and had other children. When Nahor was 29 years old, he had a son, Terah. After that, he lived another 119 years and had other children. After Terah was 70 years old, he became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. These are the descendants of Terah, who was the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran was the father of Lot. And Haran died in his hometown of Ur in Babylonia while his father was still living. Abram married Sarai, and Nahor married Milcah, the daughter of Haran, who was also the father of Iscah. Sarai was not able to have children. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, who was the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, Abram's wife, and with them he left the city of Ur in Babylonia to go to the land of Canaan. They went as far as Haran and settled there. Terah died there at the age of 205. If you were here last week when we read from Genesis, I said that we would find out how much longer Noah and his family would be on the ark. So were you able to follow the narrative? It is a little difficult to track. So I found a pretty cool website to shortcut the process to figure it out. And I'll have the link on the show notes page. But anyway, it's from BibleAnswerGirl.com. And the total number of days from the time they got on the ark until the time they stepped off on dry land was 377 days. Imagine how good it must have felt to step foot on dry land and be able to move about freely. Man, with a lockdown that the current virus has caused in our country and even nation or worldwide, I think many of us are experiencing just a hint of what Noah and his family felt. It sort of gives you a completely new perspective on it, doesn't it? Well, thank you for being with me today. See you tomorrow when we read from what section of the Bible? That's right, history. We'll read from Joshua chapters 11 through 15. So until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.